welcome to Sipa Speaks. Today we're talking about council tax. The government recently released data analysing the levels of council tax across England and Wales, which reveals that council tax has been raised across the board. Sipa's annual council tax survey also came to a close, and the data highlights a significant disparity between the north and south of the country, with households in the northeast paying over £400 more than those in Greater London. The government permitted councils to raise council tax by up to 5%, and with the economic instability that is being experienced in the UK, councils had to take the difficult decision to raise council taxes. To discuss this and more, we're joined by Joe Pitt, who is Sipa's Head of Policy, and Tracy Bingham, who is Strategic Director and CFO for Oadby and Wigston Borough Council. First up, it's Joe Pitt. Sipa's Council Tax Survey, I'm joined by Joe Pitt, who is Sipa's Policy Manager. Joe, thank you very much for joining me today.
Pleasure, Harriet.
So, local authorities have been experiencing economic difficulty over the last few years with the pandemic, and then last year, soaring inflation rates and supply chain issues meant that financial recovery from the pandemic was extremely difficult. Sipa's Council Tax Survey has closed. Could you give us a sense of what the data has shown and what this means for local authorities across England and Wales?
I mean, this is a council tax survey that we take on board every year, because I think it's really important to have a look at what's happening with council tax, as council tax plays such an important role in funding local government. This year actually has been a bit of a challenge because of the fact that we've had a lot of reorganisation across the piece. So comparing like with like has raised some challenges for us. But I suppose it will be of no surprise to any of the listeners here, if they know anything about local government finance, that the Sipa Council Tax Survey for 2023 has shown that council tax has continued to rise across England and Wales. And this is a trend that has shown no sign of abating since 2010. The statistics that we've calculated show that now the average Band D increase in England and Wales for 2023 is 4.9%.
Okay, and is that kind of unprecedented, or is that quite usual, or is it a big change from last year?
No, what we would see is we would often see it track the allowances allowed through central government, because local authorities can't set their own council tax in a vacuum. There's a referendum limit on council tax, and this is where the government set a guideline on how much council tax can increase. So this year that was 5%. But what you've got to remember is that council tax, the bill that somebody receives on their doorstep, is made up not only of sort of a single element from perhaps the borough council where they live, but they will also have to include in that elements from the county council, a charge perhaps for police. Also, if they live in a parish, there'll be a parish precept on their bill. And finally, there's an additional element which has been introduced for a number of years, which is what we call an adult social care precept. And that, again, is an element that a local authority can charge in their council tax bill, and that is to be used for adult social care.
Okay, and could you explain a bit about how local authorities decide to set their council tax? What are some of the key factors that need to be taken into account to make that decision?
So council tax is set, well, when they start to look at their budget, by looking at, very simplistically, what grants they've got coming in from local government, what other sources of income they have coming in from other areas, so sort of things like planning and sales fees and charges, we call it. But they have all of that types of income coming in. They might also have some investment income that they will include in as part of that. Then they look at the cost of the other side of the coin, which is the cost of the services that they have to provide. So what's their expenditure? What are the running costs of that, delivering those services? So those are things like, you know, staffing costs. You and I might, you know, they include things like petrol, running and maintaining the buildings. All of those sorts of things that go on behind the scenes in order to allow the authority to function. And then they've got those two figures, and essentially they'll have a gap in the middle, and that gap in the middle is where we see council tax. And so they look to see how much council tax is required to balance that gap in the middle. The challenges we've got at the moment is that with inflation and significant rising costs, that gap in the middle between what they've got coming in and the cost of all of those things going out is still significant. And sometimes council tax is not sufficient, even at the 5% allowed by central government, to fix that gap.
And as we mentioned earlier, there's been a lot of economic difficulty over the last couple of years specifically, and some local authorities are having to take the decision to raise council tax. That's obviously not an easy decision. Could you explain what should be taken into consideration when deciding to raise council tax, and when would it be appropriate to raise council tax as well?
Across the board, local authorities really have to raise council tax because the cost of delivering those services is so significant. Also, central government assume when they produce the settlement that local authorities will include an increase in their council tax. So they call that core spending power. So it would be a brave local authority not to increase council tax. The challenges that local authorities have at the moment is that we're in a cost of living crisis. So individual communities are facing incredible hardship at the moment. And, you know, we've got the rise in food banks. We've got people are experiencing energy, a crisis, not able to pay bills, not able to pay mortgages and rent. So there has to be a balance that is taken with regards to the amount of council tax that we're looking at an increase. I think, though, when you do look at rises in council tax and you have compare that to the rise that you've got in inflation, the council tax is going up by 5%, or is allowed to go up by 5% from central government. That's still below the current inflation figures. So whilst all bills going up are a challenge, the council tax bill increase, which I think in central London at the moment is about £100 on the average band D council tax, is not perhaps as big as individuals are facing in other rising bills. So, for example, the energy bill that they will have will be rising faster than any sort of council tax. But to take into account, you know, politicians are very aware of the challenges that are being faced by the communities in their area. So they don't, you know, they really consider why and how they're raising council tax. So they'll be looking and putting that money, because remember, you know, you're raising council tax, but that's not for profit. That is ensuring that that money gets put in essential services. But that might be adult social care. It's running your libraries. It's running your roads. All of those sorts of things. So they're the decisions that they make. But it's a tough year. And when those sorts of rises are below inflation, it gives them, you know, very little opportunity to manoeuvre. So we see the majority of councils raising council tax by the maximum, but it's still below inflation.
So as you said, sometimes there is a shortfall, and analysis of the council tax rises shows that there will not be enough to fill the shortfalls, as you've said, in the local authorities' budgets. So where is this going to leave local authorities when it comes to financial resilience and stability for the long term?
I think we will still see local authorities having to dip into reserve. I don't think that will be a surprise, and we'll see that as they try to, particularly over the period that we've got at the moment, where we've got sort of increased inflation, forecasts saying that inflation is going to reduce. So we've got a gap there. Local authorities will also be looking and continuously looking to make savings. So they will be, you know, providing transformation and, you know, looking at the ways that they can save money, but still continue to deliver the services that are required in the community. They're also looking to work closely with the voluntary sector. They will be maximising their assets and ensuring that they've got good financial discipline, so that there's strong stewardship of the public pound, making sure that every pound that is spent counts. But I think that it will be a challenging year again for local authorities. We've got a one-year settlement, which, you know, it's always a problem, because if you are trying to plan for a slightly longer term, a one-year settlement makes that quite difficult. Local authorities are very good now at working with those short-term settlements, but we would still push very strongly to improve that and make a longer-term settlement, so that the resilience of local authorities could be improved, and certainly the planning made more long term. Actually, we had a Chancellor in his budget the other day that there was a bit of long term funding for a couple of the combined authorities. So perhaps that's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel for local authorities, and that's something that we can hope will be replicated in a settlement in the future.
The council tax rate varies across England and Wales, but the Sit for Council Tax Survey shows that there's a growing disparity between the north and south of the country, with the north having higher council tax even though the south generally has a higher concentration of wealth. What does the data show, and why do you think that we're seeing such a big disparity?
Yes, the data continues to show that there's a disparity in the average band B between the north, let's say the northeast, geographically we'll talk about the northeast and Greater London. So if you were to think about and drill down into the figures, that's quite a familiar pattern and something that has been repeated year on year in our Sit for Stat. So this increased disparity between the northeast paying a higher band D property than Greater London. So in the figures that we've got this year, the northeast is an increase of sort of £102 in the average council tax, and the Greater London, their average council tax is rising to about £1,800 as opposed to the northeast, which is currently £2,200. Greater London is seeing a higher percentage increase this year. So in Greater London, council tax is going up by 5.8% in comparison to the north 4.8%. But because the baseline in the average council tax for the northeast is higher, being the sort of 2,200, still the rise in council tax for an average property in the northeast in Band D is higher than it would be in Greater London. So the sort of the long and the short of it is that we are continuing to see a divergence in the northeast and Greater London council tax bands, and that over the last few years that has seen no sign of abating. If you think about sort of the levelling up agenda, we would be waiting for some form of reflection and a funding settlement that might alter that at the moment. But until that's in place, I can't see anything that would alter that trajectory, that where there's a divergence between those two figures. And as yes, as I say, the council tax survey, it's for SITFA, reiterates that exact finding. So it's not anything new.
Why do you think there is such a disparity?
It's funding. So there has been, you know, there hasn't been a new funding. There was something called the Fair Funding Review that was supposed to go in a number of years ago, and that has been put back and put back. We won't have that until after sort of a new government takes place. So there won't be any change in fair funding, and the system needs to be restructured and altered, because there is a divergence between need and funding at the moment. And that's a huge piece of work. A lot of time and effort was put into that work a number of years ago, but you know, with the pandemic and a number of things, it was put on the back burner. And now, as I say, it's not going to be enacted until after a general election. So it's a case of watch this space, really. You know, it's a very difficult conversation, because you're going to have winners and losers if you start to go down that route. And it is a challenging conversation, but one that needs to be had, because, as you say, we've got divergence of this type, and it's not going to get any better.
And if the current trends continue, what do you think will happen over the next year, and then possibly over the next couple of years?
I think that council tax is in the quite difficult box to change, so I don't think anything is going to happen this year. We will have a general election next year, and perhaps it will be, you know, in the in tray of whoever is in power at that time. Would it be top of their probably not. And having sort of been involved in a lot of the Fair Funding Review meetings a couple of years ago, it is a long-term, very, you know, challenging piece of policy to get through. So I think it's a case of watch this space. Something needs to be done. What is very much still up in the air.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Sit for Speaks today, Jo.
Pleasure. Thank you, Harriet.
Thank you. That was Joe Pitt, SITFA's Head of Policy. Next, we'll be talking to Tracy Bingham, who is Strategic Director and CFO for Oadby and Wigston Borough Council.
Hi Tracy, and welcome to SITFA Speaks. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about your role?
Sure. Hi, so I'm Tracy Bingham. I work for a local council called Oadby and Wigston Borough Council, and I'm their Strategic Director and Section 151 Officer. Aside from being the organisation's Chief Financial Officer, I lead quite an eclectic mix of services that includes council housing, economic regeneration and planning. And I'm actually in a little twilight zone at the moment because I've just accepted a new contract with a new employer. So that's South Derbyshire District Council, and I'm joining them in June as their Strategic Director of Corporate Resources.
Well, congratulations on the new role. That sounds very exciting. So this episode of SITFA Speaks is focusing on council tax. Our recent council tax survey has identified that council tax is going up across the board as local authorities try to plug budget shortfalls and counter soaring inflation. Could you explain a little bit for our listeners about how a local authority decides to set council tax and what are the key factors that may be taken into account?
So first off, council tax system is absolutely massive and involves various tiers of local government and different precepting bodies. So districts or unitaries act as billing authorities and they collect council tax on behalf of other precepting partners. In a two-tier system of local government, this will include district councils, county councils, parish and or town councils, the police and crime commissioner and the fire authority, whereas in a unitary system, it will involve the unity council instead of the district and the county. Legally, local authorities are required to determine the level of council tax as the difference between the council's spending plans, i.e. the budget, and the amount of funding from other sources. So this covers grants, business rates and other income. And the gap is what we call the council tax requirement. And this is where we divide basically how much we need to recover by the number of properties liable for council tax in an area. That's all pretty straightforward and tickety-boo. But there's then a check around what is referred to as excessiveness. And that check is about a limit that the Secretary of State sets around the threshold of excessiveness. And this is what is known as the referendum principles. And there's different referendum principles for different classes of authority. But essentially, we have to check that what we are looking to raise as our council tax requirement is not in excess of this referendum principle or this excessiveness limit. Those thresholds are finalised along the local government finance settlement each February. And if an authority was proposing an increase that was above that referendum limit, then they would have to obtain a yes vote from by way of a local referendum with the public before they could implement that increase. Now, in reality, I think, you know, your question there is really interesting about soaring inflation and council tax going up across the board. The days of the amount that we need through council tax requirement being below what would be the excessive level are kind of becoming a thing of the past. Most councils, or a lot of councils, I should say, taking my own council as a recent example in Oadby and Wigston, the gap between the spending plan and the funding and income is way above the referendum principle. This last year's budget round, our council tax requirement was actually 4.9 million, and that's what we needed to raise. But our referendum limit meant that we could only increase 4.4 million, and in reality, the cost of undertaking a referendum, you know, that there's additional cost to taking forward a referendum that would make it prohibitive to take that forward in that way. And in all likelihood, we're probably going to, you know, lose that vote. And of course, the politicians wouldn't want to raise council tax, you know, above what's deemed appropriate levels also. So I think, you know, in the days of soaring inflation, that's why you're seeing council tax go up across the board. It's because councils are having to maximise council tax increases within the referendum principles in order to maintain service delivery.
I imagine the decision to raise council tax is never an easy one for a local authority to make, as they will be only too aware of the impacts this will have on the local community, especially in the cost of living crisis. We've seen some councils being given the permission to raise their council tax by up to 10% this year. In your role as a CFO, have you ever had to make that difficult decision to raise council tax? How did it impact you and the council?
So as a chief finance officer, of course, the decision isn't mine, but I do get involved on an annual basis with working with members and making recommendations around council tax. And I've done that annually for as long as I've been a chief finance officer. What's typically involved from my perspective is work on the budget requirement first and foremost. So of course, you know, like any organisation in terms of setting its budget, it's around understanding the cost pressures that we face, how those impact the budget requirements. What investment do we need to make in services? Is that in revenue running costs or the capital investment that we need to make, which will then impact revenue in the form of finance costs? What's the likelihood of planned savings being delivered? What is housing growth and therefore our tax base growth been like? And what is it expected to be like in the future? And how does this impact costs? And also then on the flip side, what additional council tax income will this bring in, or indeed other income? And also, what's our reserves picture looking like into the future? And I think importantly, when councils are moving away from, if we're looking at an increase that is below the referendum limit, what is the foregone income into the future? You know, so if a council doesn't take up the maximum increase of council tax, what is the foregone income year on year on an annual basis? I haven't heard of a referendum on council tax being undertaken for some time, but I think that's an important consideration and something that members need to be aware of, that it is an option.
Okay. Levels of council tax vary across the UK, but our council tax survey has identified a growing disparity, with council tax rates rising sharper in the north than in the south of the country, despite the south generally having a higher concentration of wealth. Why do you think there is such variation in rates, and why is there such a disparity between the north and south?
There is a lot of disparity in the system, and you know that can be not necessarily just between north and south, but also between councils within a region. You know, in my own county, there's quite a lot of disparity, actually, certainly between the district level. And so, yeah, there is a lot of disparity in the system, and it's not just between north and south. Actually, there's often a lot of disparity between councils within a region, or even in my own county of Leicestershire. There's quite a lot of disparity between district councils. So it's not uncommon for neighbouring councils to have very different levels of council tax and have very different approaches to raising council tax each year. Clearly, one of the main reasons will be political. You know, at the end of the day, council tax is a political decision, and we can't move away from that. But it's also driven to the extent of which councils receive other forms of funding. So, you know, back to my example around the council tax requirement for my council, Obi and Wigston, we haven't seen a lot by way of growth. And that impacts our budget because we don't get the growth in our council tax base and the additional council tax coming through. But we also don't have growth in business rates or new homes bonus. So that means we are relying increasingly on council tax as that main source of funding and income. And so, you know, that is an area where we have had to make those increases in council tax year on year. In contrast, there are other councils that are, you know, fairly local to Obi and Wigston, who have seen dramatic increases in their economic and their housing growth, and to that end have generated more in business rates, retained growth of business rates, and more new homes bonus, and also a bigger council tax base. And that means they draw in more funding from those funding sources, and therefore then have the ability to take a decision not to raise council tax because their council tax requirement is lower than the referendum limits allow. So I think it's a really complicated picture, and it very much depends on the funding position of councils, the politics of those councils, and, you know, the other income that those councils can draw in also. I don't think there's a single set of answers around that north and south divide that your survey has brought to light. I think it's more a complex mix of factors and variables.
So is there anything that can be done to reduce the imbalance between council tax rates across the UK, do you think?
Yes, absolutely. First off, just give councils much greater freedom. Possibly even abolish the referendum principles entirely. You know, this is something that I'm really quite passionate about, and I do some work with the District Council Network on this point. I mentioned earlier, council tax really is a political thing. It's about tax, and removing the referendum limits for all local authorities will really just give that opportunity for increases to be determined at the ballot box. You know, in the government's local government finance settlement consultation, there was broad disagreement from all respondents on the referendum proposals. You know, to go forward with a referendum, it would cost any council a considerable sum, and it would also consume quite a chunk of any proposed above limit increase. That is if the electorate would back it. So, you know, a referendum is not a worthwhile exercise. So it's almost like a, you know, an arbitrary limit that suggests that councils would go forward with referendums, when in reality they're very difficult to take forward. Local councils are best placed to judge the right balance, rather than, you know, essentially a one-size-fits-all approach that's imposed from central government. And more specifically, the £5 flexibility for district councils is becoming a real issue. So district councils at the minute have a referendum limit of the highest of 2.99% or £5. It's now worth less than the 3% for the majority of district councils. So there really is not much point having that £5 limit there at all. And district councils network have been calling to raise that limit up to £10 or even £15. What it means is that councils with low precepts, for whatever reason, they can't catch up with their neighbours, and effectively they're limited to the same maximum percentage increase, you know, that 2.99%. And if we had a higher cash limit for district councils, that would give those district councils an opportunity to catch up. If it was a 10 or a 15 pounds, they wouldn't do it every year, I'm pretty certain of that, but it would allow them to catch up in that council tax and reduce some of that disparity that we see. But also police and crime commissioners, you know, they raise their council tax, they can raise their council tax by a £15 cash limit. And in some areas, and I think in Leicestershire, the police and crime commissioner share on the council tax bill is higher than most districts. And I think a final point to think about is there were some additional flexibilities for some councils through this local settlement. They were given extra flexibility to raise their council tax by some really quite generous percentages. Those councils are going through some particular financial issues, and there's been some financial failings. And, you know, why can't well-run councils have those same freedoms to be self-sufficient and to support communities? You know, before they get to the point where they are really struggling financially, give those financial freedoms up front to allow that autonomy, rather than sort of rewarding those councils that have seen financial failures once they're in that position.
Thanks, Tracy. So finally, what does the next 5 years look like at OB Wigston Council, and how has the cost of living crisis affected operations at the council?
So OB and Wigston has had some unique financial challenges for a number of years, but last year saw those really ramp up for the council. By September, we'd forecast a 10% variance on the budget in year, and that was solely down to inflationary pressures. And those inflationary pressures, of course, haven't gone away. They've just compounded going into this new budget year. So that's been a real additional pressure, and the council is having to meet those inflationary pressures through use of reserves. Going forward over the next 5 years, we currently project in our medium-term financial plan to exhaust reserves within 2026-27, which, you know, really isn't that far away. Our reserves are around 20% of our net revenue expenditure at the moment, and we are forecasting to use reserves every year to balance the budget. And, you know, one of the main reasons for this is just solely because we haven't got the strength of business rates growth or new homes bonus or council tax base growth that perhaps some other councils have. So we really sort of stand out as a bit of an outlier in terms of our funding position. Yeah, it's a challenging time. We've got a sustainability programme, so we're mobilising that. That is looking at all of our operations across the board and looking at how we can do things differently and how we can make savings. But we're in for a really, really tight couple of years going forward. You know, we're really looking forward to the review of needs and resources as a means of the local government funding system being reset.
Thanks, Tracy, for joining us on SIPA Speaks.
Thank you for having me.
That was Tracy Bingham from OB and Wigston Borough Council. That's all we've got time for today. Thank you to today's guests. We hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll be back next month with more interviews and information that public finance professionals need to know about. Please do follow us on social media for more and listen to previous episodes on SIPA's website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you and goodbye.